that happens in life can happen in a show. You can make them laugh, you can make them cry. Anything, anything can go.
Welcome to your weekend. This is Weekend Showcase, your North State Arts magazine. I'm Tom Kenny. Today we take you to Theater on the Ridge in Paradise to hear from the director and the cast from the entertaining comedy mystery, Women in Jeopardy, about three friends, strong-willed women of a certain age, who become involved with investigating a mysterious and maybe dangerous murder case. And on today's show, we visit MoNCA, the Museum of Northern California Art, on the Esplanade in Chico, to talk with the curator and an art photographer from an exhibit displaying photos of various objects of sentimental value to African Americans in the San Francisco area. That's coming up over the next half hour here on Weekend Showcase. Stay tuned. First, here's Brian Maul with the North State Arts Calendar.
On Tuesday in Reading, Grammy-winning rock legend Boz Scaggs comes to the Cascade Theater starting at 7:30. In the gallery at Reading's Old City Hall, the exhibit titled Art 300 features works by Shasta College faculty. The Old City Hall Gallery is open tomorrow, 11 to 3, then Tuesday through Thursday, noon to 5. At the Orland Art Center, the 9th annual group show displays a wide array of media in works by 40 artists from around California. Gallery hours 1 to 6, Tuesday through Saturday. In Chico tomorrow evening at the university's Harlan Adams Theater, a treat for classical music fans, heroic music for trumpet and organ. The program begins at 7:30. Sunday at the university's Zing Recital Hall, pianist Fei-Fei Dong performs selections from Mozart, Schumann, Rachmaninoff, and others, beginning at 2 o'clock. Sunday evening in Chico, the California Bluegrass Association presents the Kathy Kallick Band. With a mixture of original and traditional material, this West Coast bluegrass band performs at the Trinity United Methodist Church, beginning at 7 o'clock. Chico Theater Company ends its run of the rollicking and romantic musical Seven Brides for Seven Brothers. The final three shows, 7:30 tonight and tomorrow night, and 2 o'clock Sunday. At Chico Art Center, the all-media art exhibition, Time Honored. The center's open Monday through Friday, noon to 4, Saturday, Sunday, 10 to 4. In Chico State's Humanities Building, the Jackie Headley University Art Gallery displays the work of Vietnamese-American artist Trong Nha Nguyen in his exhibit, Dog Days. His whimsically odd and oddly political objects can be seen Tuesday through Saturday, noon to 4. Also in the Humanities Building, the Janet Turner Print Museum hosts the exhibit, Imagining the Past. How does the distant past affect the present? Maybe you'll find out at the Turner, open Monday through Saturday, 11 to 4. In Paradise, the performing group for kids, Stagecoach Youth, at Theater on the Ridge, presents its fall musical, The Phantom Tollbooth Jr. You have four chances to see this show, 3:30 and 5:30, on both Monday and Wednesday. The NorCal Jazz Festival celebrates with three concerts around the North State, starting at the Paradise Performing Arts Center Sunday evening at 7:30, saxophone and clarinet virtuosos Peter and Will Anderson play original compositions and selections from the Great American Songbook. Monday, the festival moves to MoNCA, the Museum of Northern California Art, on the Esplanade in Chico. French guitarist Felix Lemarié join the Andersons for this concert that starts at 7:30. The festival concludes on Tuesday in Red Bluff with all three musicians. That's at the Main Event Gallery, beginning at 7:30. That's the calendar for this week. Born on this date, singer-songwriter Amy Winehouse. Life's short, Winehouse expressed. Anything could happen, and it usually does. So there's no point in sitting around thinking about all the ifs, ands, and buts.
I'm at Theater on the Ridge in Paradise, and we're talking about the current production, Women in Jeopardy. I have here the director of the play, Judy Clemons.
I love working on comedies with strong roles for women, sort of women of a certain age. And since my friends and I are those women that are of certain age, I have such fantastically funny friends. It's like a party at rehearsals every night.
It comes right across to the audience. It's like joining the party coming to this play. Well, the title is Women in Jeopardy. You know, the cliche of that title is that it's about women who need to be saved by knights in shining armor and that sort of thing. The joke is these are very strong women who don't need any men to save them. In fact, the men are more the butts of the joke.
Yeah, that appealed to me too, I have to say. It's sort of a mystery comedy. The message is friends looking out for other friends. It's just that little sort of tightrope friends walk when one friend is doing something that they're concerned about. And that's all very relatable. We all go through that at certain times in our lives where there's always a chance of losing a friend, trying to be brutally honest or trying to intervene in a bad situation. Although I want everybody to realize that this is just a lot of fun. You know, it's not a heavy play by any stretch of the imagination, and the dialogue is so funny. Audiences are just loving it. We've had such a great opening weekend.
Laughs keep coming all the way through, and yet they're very warm laughs. I really feel the chemistry and love between these three women.
I loved the show from the minute I read it, and I knew exactly who I wanted to work with in it. We have to talk about the guys, too. John Merrick, he's so funny and so fantastic, and the chance for him to do dual roles in this show, playing two totally different characters, and be willing to be the butt of the joke, you know, through most of the show. And then Addison, who plays Trenor, the snowboarder. It was a real stretch for him because he's a very intelligent, sharp, very mature kid, and he's had to play this doofus. He's doing a wonderful job. Yeah, I think he's really had a good time with it.
This is Teresa Hurley Miller. She plays one of the three women in Jeopardy at Theater on the Ridge. Tell me about your character.
Liz is a divorcee. She's a little sex crazed. She's been alone for a while and is very happy to once again have a lover in her life.
Her two friends are kind of worried about her, and they think that she's naive.
Well, I think she is kind of naive, but I love that about her. She coins herself as a trusting person, and they don't trust her instincts is the problem. It's really fun. We have a great time.
We've been talking with Teresa Hurley Miller. She plays one of the three women in Women in Jeopardy at Theater on the Ridge. We have here Shauna Jones, one of the trio of women in the middle of Women in Jeopardy. Shauna, how do you like doing this kind of mixture between thriller mystery and comedy? It's very funny, but it also has this puzzle in the middle of it.
It's a great time. You know, as an actor, it's keeping you really close to the script because the thriller aspects of it mean that you're sort of unlocking the puzzle as you go. So if you miss anything or you decide to say a word a little differently, it can throw things off a little later. But it's also just a blast. The comedy side of it makes it all engaging.
Well, you and the two other stars of the show and the director, Judy Clemons, You're all actual friends in real life. What's it like joining your friends and your daughter on stage?
It's magnificent. It's the best possible situation. For many of us that work in the theater here in the local Chico area, we sort of develop these tribes and these families with relationships that last us for many, many years. As you go in and out of different productions, you'll get the chance to work with these fun people that are a part of your life and become part of your family.
When you're in a comedy like this with old friends, it seems like the danger would be that you're cracking each other up all the time.
I think it was probably not up until Tech Week that we weren't actually breaking for a moment just to have a good laugh.
Do you think that sense of camaraderie that's real comes across to the audience when they're watching the play?
I think so. We've gotten some feedback since we opened about sort of the feeling of chemistry that they see on the stage, sort of the sidelong glances, you know, the subtext that's kind of pouring out. And then that stuff just comes with the relationships.
Well, tell me about your character specifically. It seems to me that you're kind of the drollest of the three.
I was totally typecast as the sarcastic meanie. Definitely. I'd like to say I'm sort of the voice of the viewer, the voice of the audience member, as they watch some of the choices that Teresa's character is making and thinking, oh, good Lord, what is she doing?
We've been talking with Shauna Jones, one of the triumvirate of women at the center of the play. We have here Sue Ruttenberg, another of the three women at the middle of the play, Women in Jeopardy. It's very funny, but there's also this mystery puzzle at the middle of it.
It's true. There is that undertone of a whodunit. We're having a great time.
There is a possible murder. And right from the beginning, two of the women are contemplating about what could be happening, right?
Exactly, yeah. So the two friends that Shauna and I play, we're very concerned about our other friend, Liz, played by Teresa Hurley, who has this new boyfriend that we don't know what to make of. And we are suspicious, to say the least.
Describe your character. How are you different from the other two women?
Well, it's my house. they all come over to my house. Reading the description of me, I'm the nice friend. You know, I'm the one that looks on the bright side and tries not to be too obvious about my concerns. Try to say it in a nice way, I think. I'm supposed to be a librarian. I'm everybody's nice friend.
But it seems like you're the main motivator about suspecting that there's this serial killer on the loose. You keep coming back to that. You're trying to figure out how to save your friend that's played by Teresa.
Right. I have to save my friend, and I have to save her daughter. And, yeah, I have a lot of lines. and the play's not even about me. So.
I think the spotlight of the play is pretty evenly shared between the three women. Is it unusual for you to have a play with three women parts that are so central and integral to the play itself?
I'll tell you, Judy Clemons, I love that woman so much. And she finds these little gems of plays for women of a certain age so that we can all play together. And she did that before with the Dixie Swim Club. And I think she's wanting to, you know, really work with people that she loves. Well, we love her. So we want to keep working with her.
So in your opinion, in a nutshell, why would audiences have a great time if they go to Theater on the Ridge to see Women in Jeopardy?
Well, you got to come and just want to laugh. We're having a great time with each other, with Addison and John and everybody. And backstage crew, everybody is just working so hard. And we're smiling and having a good time on stage. And we're hoping that you come and smile and have a good time in the audience.
That was your invitation from Sue Ruttenberg, one of the three actors who are at the center of Women in Jeopardy. Here's another member of the cast, Addison Turner. Tell me about your character.
Trenor is possibly as stupid as any human being could get. He's a snowboarder, 19 years old, and he's definitely not the brightest kid out there. And that's basically it to him. That's as much as you're going to get. This role was difficult to find a middle ground of where it wasn't utterly ridiculous, yet it would be funny. There was definitely some work that went into trying to make this perfect.
What was it like for you fitting into this cast
and kind of getting into the timing in a comical way.
It was very awkward at first. You know, everyone in this cast here at Theater on the Ridge, I mean, I admire all of them. All of their work is, it can be intimidating when they obviously have a character created and set, and I do not. It was a lot of fun, actually, because once you try something, they can bounce back and try something else with you, and it was very helpful and very fun.
And you have this on-again, off-again relationship with the daughter of one of the women. It's very mixed up.
Trenor's relationship to Amanda is... It all spiraled out of control, and then because Trenor couldn't vocalize his real feelings about the actual situation, then Amanda misinterpreted it, and so it went out of control.
We've been talking with Addison Turner from the cast of Women in Jeopardy at Theater on the Ridge. Now we have Tara Jones, the youngest actor in the show. Tell me about your character.
My name is Amanda in the show, and she's pretty ditzy. She doesn't really understand what's going on, but at some moments she does, and it surprises you. And she likes to eat a lot, banana coffee cake especially. Yeah, she doesn't really know which way is up.
You're a sharp young woman, I know, from talking to you before. Was it a challenge to dial down your intellectual capacity for this role?
Yes, I guess. It's just really fun to, I guess, just be dumb. You don't have to try very hard, but you also have to try very hard to get that laugh. Like, that's important. But more than that, I think that she's just so out there and not who I am. But towards the end, she likes to complain and whine and stuff. And I haven't been feeling too well recently. So I really like just kind of just being that person is kind of just who I am right now.
So it gave you a chance to actually whine, and it was okay because that's part of the script.
Exactly.
So you play the daughter of one of the three central characters. And yet one of the other three central characters is actually your mother. So was that confusing, being the daughter of Teresa on stage and the actual daughter of Shauna?
I don't think it was confusing for me, but probably for the audience, because we look so much alike. Being Teresa's daughter is just a lot of fun, and I like to resemble her in my acting.
We've been talking with Tara Jones, one of the younger members of the cast of Women in Jeopardy at Theater on the Ridge. Now we have John Merrick. You play two parts, is that right?
I do. You're right, I do. We gave it away. Yes, I have a dual role in this show.
Well, tell me about each of your characters.
One of them is a dentist who's a bit socially unacceptable, but really a sweetheart of a guy. And the other one is a police officer. He's a little bit of Barney Fife.
Well, through most of the play, your character, the dentist, is a suspect in the minds of two of the three central characters. He could be a very malevolent, well, like Hannibal Lecter, because there's jokes about him looking like Anthony Hopkins, and he has a movie he lends somebody, it's Silence of the Lambs. What's it like being a possibly malevolent character like that?
I'd have to say it's kind of fun, because it's not normally me, so I get to be somebody who's, let's just say, a little bit naughty at times and gets away with it.
Yeah, I could never figure out whether you were creepy or just kind of funny eccentric.
There was three or four different versions of the dentist, and the first one they said, that's too creepy. And the second one they said, that's too normal. So I had to find a happy medium in between where he's sort of creep normal.
Cronormal.
We've been talking with John Merrick, one of the only male actors in Women in Jeopardy, the play at Theater on the Ridge right now. Judy, give me and our audience a rundown of why people would want to go see this play, Women in Jeopardy.
It's kind of all things to all people. It's a perfect date night out, and it's absolutely the most perfect girls' night out. We've had people that came this weekend that are coming back next week, and they're bringing friends. Mm-hmm. And I also like to say that we have a new ticket outlet in Paradise. Postnet in the Safeway Shopping Center is our new Paradise ticket outlet. That's where people can get tickets.
They can go online if they're comfortable with that. It's TOTR, is that right?
It's TOTR.org.
What's the outlet in Chico?
The outlet in Chico is the Vagabond Rose. They've been our outlet for almost 30 years.
That's on Main Street in Chico. So one way or another, get your tickets for Women in Jeopardy, a very enjoyable comedy thriller, really, at Theater on the Ridge in Paradise.
Dolores Mitchell. Today, I'm sitting in one of the galleries at MONCA, the Museum of Northern California Art, at 900 and the Esplanade in Chico. I'm speaking with the curator of a new exhibition, Ramakan O Aristas, that is at MONCA through the 28th of October. Ramakan, tell us about the exhibition that is in fact linked to a additional exhibition.
One show is called Black and White in Black and White. It's a show of photography from the 1920s and 1930s. And then there's our show called Silence Out Loud, an exhibition of artists who are members of a collective in San Francisco who focus on the idea of raising awareness of the diaspora of African Americans from the city, using their art as a way to explore the concept of portrait in different materials. For 10 years, I was the fine art photography curator at SFO Museum in San Francisco. So for 10 years, I've been looking at a lot of images, and as a curator, I am usually the one who sets the parameters of what constitutes a show. Now I like the idea of allowing the artists to give a large definition of what portraits are and allow the artists to define what that means for them.
How many artists are in this collective and what was their response to your call for participation?
When I proposed the idea, the organization was enthusiastic because I was not dictating the curatorial process. I was allowing the artists to define on their own terms what a portrait is and allow them to be liberated to define on their own what a portrait is in many forms and different forms.
Were you surprised by the response and by the variations in ideas about portraiture?
Well, I was very happy that people took my idea and ran with it. There's portraits, there's photography, quilts, installations, paintings. It's really broad and eclectic. More than about half of the membership are participating in this event and have enthusiasm. This is 3 hours away, thereabouts, from San Francisco. For me, how contemporary African Americans in art defined who they are on their own terms is a very powerful statement.
I'm turning now to one of the artists who will be exhibiting. Her name is Keisha Lucas.
I'm presenting a body of work that I have called Objects to Remember You By, an Index of Sentiment. I've been photographing people's sentimental objects since 2014, creating a small mock museum of things that people hold on to, give energy to, feel at home with. And I feel like these objects are a portrait of that person because it's something that they identify with, that they carry with them through their lives. I don't like to define sentimentality for people or let them know how many objects to bring or what kind of objects I'm looking for. I feel like sometimes people want to bring something that they think I will think looks cool, but I actually like photographing things that are the most meaningful to the person. I want them to think about what is important to them, the thing that they feel has the most meaning to them in their lives. Once I had the woman bring a whole cart full of stuff for me to photograph. I photograph everything that somebody brings. Then obviously for the exhibition, I can't exhibit all of the objects or else it would be taking over the entire museum. I think that there's a number of different kinds of objects and there's things that people will see like, oh, I have something like that in my life, or there's something that I can identify with. And I'll also have the stories of the objects either accompanying, or if I happen to see somebody looking at a thing, I'll remember, oh, here's the story behind that object, and tell them. And then they share their stories with me, so I feel like I'm given the privilege of holding on to this information and compiling it together. Sometimes somebody might walk in and see the work and not notice why somebody else thinks one thing is sentimental, but then also identify with other objects.
How are you going to be displaying these many objects?
There will be a vitrine with a photograph that has many sentimental objects printed on it from things that I've been making photographs over the past several years. And then the objects that I have photographed in Chico are going to be in drawers where people can open them up and see the photographs of the objects inside of the drawers. So similar to the way that you would see object displayed in a museum and sometimes in the back room of a museum as well.
If you had to choose from your own life an object, what would it be?
Oh my. I have photographed several times things sentimental to me. Recently, my grandmother passed away. She's had Alzheimer's disease for the last 11 years. She held these two small dolls that were comforting to her. That is probably the most recent thing I would photograph as a sentimental object. But I also have like my father's business card, and oh, the other thing is a copy of Notes from a Native Son by James Baldwin. My dad wrote a note to me inside of when I was 16 for my birthday present.
Ramakan, can you tell us about this panel discussion, when it will take place and what the topic will be?
The panel discussion will be October 7th at 3 p.m. The topic will be portrait as identity. Who defines what a portrait is, and how is it used within the culture and society in which we find ourselves? What role does art play in empowering the artist and culture to use the image in a positive way? When it comes to African-American images, historically, the image has always been negative or used to justify racial or bigoted stereotypes about African-American people.
There'll be time for audience interaction and questions?
Absolutely. I think it's much better that the audience get a chance to hear what the artist has to say and that the artist get a chance to hear what the audience has to say. Particularly when it comes to people who are younger generations and people from an older generations, so that we can hear the different perspectives, and that gives us a broader range on what truth is.
That's all happening at MONCA, the Museum of Northern California Art, which is at 900 and the Esplanade in Chico, and is open Thursday through Sunday from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m.
That's Weekend Showcase for this week. We'll be back next Friday at 3 o'clock. If you ever miss this program at its regular broadcast time, you can hear it online anytime after 3:30 Friday at mynspr.org. As always, we encourage you to enjoy the arts in the North State. For Weekend Showcase, I'm Tom Kinney. Weekend Showcase is a production of North State Public Radio.